Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Song really knocks me out, you know. 1, 2.
Happy February 20th, everybody. It's Monday night. It's a warm Monday night here on the East Coast in the Philadelphia area. Kind of different from February, but we'll take it. I'll take a warm day over an icy day any day of the week. How about you? You're listening to Chris Kelly from 80s TV here live on Totally Driven Entertainment Radio. The number to call in tonight is the same as it is every week. And that number is 718-508-9883. We have a little bit of a late start tonight. I was at a viewing for a friend's father a little while ago. May he rest in peace. And I appreciate anybody who's tuning in and who waited to tune in. We have a couple things to talk about tonight. We're going to feature the topic 1981. A couple of deaths in the news this week related to the 80s. Some from the 70s, of course, as well. And we're going to go over those. But I have a good friend on the line I'd like to see first. Her name is Gina Marie Scorsone. Gina, are you there?
Here, my friend. Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm broken right now, to be honest with you.
Why? What happened?
No, I decided to, the last week I've completely have changed my whole regimen, completely have gone completely organic and gluten-free and non-GMO and working out. And today I did my first 5-mile hike in a while. And
I
so,
saw that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, don't get me wrong. But it's now I and then I was like continuing on all day long, went grocery shopping, went to Costco, and now like my whole body is like so sore. So I'm actually laying down with the heating pad talking to you with a cup of tea. I'm like,
you know,
I'm like I feel like an old lady.
I think it's the weather. It inspired me yesterday too to hit the gym. I hadn't been to the gym in probably 6 months, and I am sore today.
I know. It sucks getting old, doesn't it? It just sucks. Oh,
it
my
does.
God. And the older we get, the worse it gets. I mean, I was like, I'm 45, and I feel like I feel like I'm 90 right now.
I feel like every minute goes by faster and faster every year. It's like can't believe it's February 20th. We just got – didn't we just have Christmas like a week ago? It's like, what the hell happened here?
Tell me about – and then tomorrow is – tomorrow is going to be the 6-year anniversary of my mom's passing. And I'm like, where the hell did this, I'm like 6 years already. Like, it's like I blinked and the last 7 years have just flown by. I don't even know. It is. The older we get, the faster the time goes.
Oh,
it's just
gosh.
Horrible.
It is. I was trying to get my friend Gina to co-host with me tonight because, if anybody's listening for Lillian is in transit tonight. Who knows where she's at tonight? Sometimes she's in Europe. Sometimes she's in Spain. Sometimes she goes to Mars. But she always comes back. She'll be back next week, everyone. She just wanted to send some love.
What does she do for a living that she travels like this?
She's Lillian from Dancing on Air. Lillian, she's all over the place. Still dancing on air, literally, though, now.
No, but I mean, seriously, and all kidding aside, like, what, I mean, is this what she does for a living? Like, she travels for her job?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, she does a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's a lot of different things. You're going to have to ask her.
I want that job. If I would add a little more notice, I would have definitely co-hosted the whole night long.
it was the last bit of travel thing she did. So, yeah, next time I want you to call and split it with me.
Yeah, no problem.
But, yeah.
So what's
speaking
the topic
of nice
tonight,
weather.
1981?
Yeah, what do you got? You remember anything about 1981?
Yeah, I was 10 years old.
What do you remember at 10? Anything? I mean,
honestly, what 10 was what? 5th grade?
Yeah.
So, well, 81. I'm trying to remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's those awkward years. you know, starting to develop into the tween years.
Right. Right. Starting to sprout, I call it.
Yeah, so, I'd already sprouted.
We start off
already,
as beans,
I was already
and then we turn into sprouts.
Yeah, I was a fast bloomer, and nickname what? Boom Boom at that point. Talk about being humiliated. I'm trying to think. I don't know what movies that came out in 1981.
I'll tell you. What's going to happen in 1981. So I got my list up here somewhere. IMDb. Raiders of the Lost Ark was the number one movie in 1981. Stripes.
Oh, love that movie. My dad let us watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it too. American Werewolf in London.
Oh, my God. That movie was like my first horror flick.
Let me get that song out real quick. Do you remember that song?
Yeah,
American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
Hampton Werewolf London. I forget the name of this guy who sings. He passed away too. He's a great, great singer, but I can't think of his name right now. I'll tell you in 1 second.
So, yeah, they play that on Sirius XM. I hear that song a lot.
Warren Zevon.
Yeah, there you go. I know it was an unusual name. To this day, I would say American Werewolf in London is still one of my all-time classic cult movies that I have to watch. Like horror cult movies.
Oh, my gosh. It was, here you go, here's the song.
There you go.
Werewolf in London.
London.
I don't want to turn off the Chinese menu. I saw werewolf on the Chinese menu. Yeah.
They didn't even play this in the movie, I don't think.
Hold on, I'm blasting it too loud. What's that? I'm sorry.
I don't think they even played this movie, that song in the movie.
No, maybe real brief. I don't think they did either.
Yeah.
I just remember the transformation. Probably you too. Go ahead.
No, the guy that played in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, both those guys. Oh, God, I can't think of the name. The one guy used to be on the on a show called Making It on ABC on Friday nights, and other guy. I think the other guy is. He was what's his name? He was in Who's That Girl with Madonna. Oh Christ.
Who's that girl?
Yeah, who's that girl? Who's that girl? but I'll never forget that guy is David something. I think he was the werewolf. I can't remember who was the werewolf now, but I remember the two guys, they they later on went to do other things, but the one guy was in that show Making It. I'll never forget it because I used to watch it every Friday night on ABC.
Sounds dirty, Making It.
No, it wasn't. It was just about
what were they making?
He was just trying to make it in the industry. He was trying to make it in was either the music industry or the acting industry, but it was the song, and the theme song was, I'm making it, this time I'm making it. That was
I
song.
Remember that.
Remember that song?
That,
that was
song.
The TV show.
I do remember that. Let me find that.
It was
David Naughton
show.
Is the name of the actor.
Yes, there you go. And then the other guy.
Here we go.
Who's the other guy? I don't have my computer on. There you go. Oh, yeah, I'm like dancing.
I love it. Okay.
Yep, that was the theme song.
Making It.
Mm-hmm.
Solid Gold.
Yeah.
Solid Gold. Oh, my God.
Oh, I loved Solid Gold.
Solid Gold Dancers, man. They were great.
That was on what? 29?
I believe
before
so.
Before it was Fox
29? Mm-hmm.
When there was only 3 UHF channels? Oh, I do remember what happened in 1981.
Tell
the
me.
Most historic thing that ever happened in 1981.
What?
Do you remember? MTV.
Oh, yes. I remember
MTV
watching it.
MTV debuted.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have
MTV
cable yet.
Awesome. Oh, so what did you do? Did you watch it at her friend's house?
I remember seeing it at my aunt's house because she had cable. We were too poor to have cable.
Wow. Ironically,
hey,
I was at my aunt's
house
when I saw it. Mm-hmm.
We actually, we were such big Flyers fans in our house and still are to this day. But our neighbor, Buzzy and Barb, because we lived on Wilson Drive in Upper Darby and we lived in a twin home. So we shared a driveway, and our neighbor Barb and Buzzy had cable, and they had Prism.
Mm-hmm.
So my neighbor Buzzy used to run the wire from his house,
the cable wire,
to put it in our house, and we'd all sit and watch the Flyers games at my house. Yeah, that's when we were like rigging all the, what do you call it, the cable. It was just so funny. Or he would rig it to the outside. It was nice out, and it was during the playoffs. He would rig the TV because he works for Tony Ferraro. Remember Tony Ferraro down in off of Haverford Avenue in West Philly?
Yeah.
Near St. Callistus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He worked for Tony Ferraro Appliances. And
oh my God.
So he had TVs and stuff, and he had it outside in the garage. And we would have neighborhood gatherings in our, what do you call it, in our driveway. We would have a coffee table, and my mom make the coffee and have the Edamons, the Edamons.
Oh, I love the
coffee
Edamons
cake.
Cookies. Yeah, yeah, I love them.
Yeah, and we would have like, you know, viewing parties outside in the driveway because he would break the cable wire out into the garage. I'm telling you, I had the best childhood. I mean, I have to say, 1981, I was 10 years old, and I still just remember it fondly. Just remember like all the good times where we used to go outside and play, and our neighbors were our family, and everybody was respectful. And
right nowadays,
those days are long gone. You know, do you remember when you used to go outside and ride your bike for hours upon hours, and then I know at my house my father would whistle and you hear that from 3 miles away and you come running? There was none of this. Like, kids today can't do that. They just can't do that.
No.
Like, you have your girls. You can't, like, just send them out and then, you know.
Kidding me? I want them to go 3 feet away from me. So forget
it. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like, when I'm with my nephews and my niece and my friends' kids, like, I don't keep them. Like, they're in my sight at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary.
It's just
a scarier world.
They just, it is. It is. But speaking of which, there was a famous missing kid case. Remember Eaton Pat? In New York, they finally convicted the guy last week of.
Wait, what?
Do you remember the story? They made a movie about it. Eaton Patz is the kid's name. Is Eaton? It was E T A N. His last name was Patz.
Okay.
He went missing in New York. It's a famous, famous story. And they made a movie about it. In the 80s. But they never solved it. So finally, after all these years, it's been 1979, so just before 1980. The poor kid, he begged his mom to let him walk to school, you know, for the first time on his own. So she finally gave him let him walk for the first time.
Oh, I do remember this story.
And he never came home. And he's like one of the first kids ever on the milk cartons. So what happened was apparently some creepy guy in a store along the route grabbed him. And I guess... strangled him and then disposed of his body, the poor kid. And but he was never a suspect until a couple of years back. They tried him as a hung jury, then they tried him again, and they got him. And I think just last week it was February 14th, Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God.
But
after all those years, oh, my God.
Yeah. But now it's like everywhere, every corner, there's somebody getting kidnapped. It's horrible. It's like, leave people's kids alone, will you?
Yeah, well, you have all those predators out there. But I don't
feel
like there was more kids being kidnapped back then than there is today.
I don't know. Maybe we're just so sanitized to it. I don't know. Just but they
should, maybe
they should come down tougher.
We didn't have we didn't have Amber Alert and everything. I feel like kids are more. I don't know. I just feel like growing up, I see a lot of kids on milk cartons.
Mm-hmm.
But then again,
he's
today
one that started
it's different.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
You know,
that's
they
weird.
Just need to kill people. I'm sorry. They should put the life, what do you call it, death penalty. You touch a kid, I don't care what it is. If you mess with somebody's kid, you're gone.
I'm very Catholic, and I'm all about forgiving and all that stuff and rehabilitation.
Yeah.
But you kill a child, absolutely, you're being no there's nothing. You're just tried. You're convicted, and you're going to be hung, shot, killed, whatever. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or
that's
lock them up with
individual.
The parents. For 24 hours, chain them up, let the parents have at them. And it's if they don't walk out of there, they never walk out. I'm sure that'd be the case in most cases. And
I happen to
the parents were never.
Think what else happened in 81. So yeah, that was a big thing. So MTV, that was the big thing. And what was the very first video that was debuted when MTV aired? What?
Oh, I love it. It was the Buggles. The video killed the radio star.
Yep.
And now you find yourself. Where's that song?
Yep.
We'll do that before you go. Let me find it real quick.
Radio killed the radio star.
The Buggles.
Yeah.
It was a cool video, too. I liked the video.
Okay. I want my MTV. That was the big slogan. Smoke brisket. Smoky
tender goodness. On all I hate this. Every time I put on someone YouTube, I got to go through the commercial first. Hear this.
Oh, I know. You have to go through the advertising. I heard you on the wireless back in 52. Lying awake and then the tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming. What is that, like a synthesizer?
Oh.
I forget what they use.
Yeah, it's some kind of echo effect.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I love that song.
That is crazy. I asked everybody that. I'm like, yeah, oh, you're a big 80s person. What was the very first video aired on MTV? I'm surprised how many people don't know it. And then they say,
all
you're
right.
Just full of useless knowledge.
Well,
what other big
better.
Movies were out that day?
Oh,
that
yeah,
year?
You got time. I'll go through it with you. Let's see what I got. I got a ton of them here. Hold on. We have... Where's my list? I have a good list right here. IMDb 1981. We have Excalibur. Do you remember that?
No.
About King Arthur. Escape from New York with Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I mean, I vaguely remember that. I saw it maybe once.
Clash of the Titans was another good one.
Oh, remember Clash of the Titans?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Wasn't that with Harry Hamlin?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I still remember. That was creepy.
And the
Medusa.
Love.
That was Medusa.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was really cool. I love the,
yeah.
The snakes in their head where you know, they turn everything to stone and all that crazy
yeah.
stuff. We got Mommy Dearest.
Oh,
no
my God.
Wire hangers.
I can never. I watched that movie twice, and I will never watch it again. It creeps me out. Did you say Endless Love?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love. Well, my mom wouldn't
Brooke
let me
Shields.
See that movie because there was nudity involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another movie for nudity for young. I know for young men, they loved it. Porky's came out in 1981.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Wait, I got the greatest story.
I know
about
that tallywhacker has a mole on it.
Wait, I got this greatest story. So we're at my aunt's house. And it was, like, the holidays, and she obviously had cable. Mm-hmm. And so we're all of us grandkids. Now, I'm number 9 out of 18 grandchildren, okay?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
There had to be at least – there was probably at least 10 of us, the older ones, okay? Well, probably 9.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably – was yeah. So it was me and then all the older ones on up. And we're all around the TV. No, because my brother was in there. So was the younger ones, too. And we're
mm-hmm.
watching the TV. We're watching Pork. And all the adults are downstairs in the basement. Anyway, my grandmother, my Italian grandmother, who spoke no English, she is sitting in the chair. Nobody realizes she's sitting there. And she's watching it. And it's the part where they have the guy's junk through the...
the little hole,
the tallywhacker
hole. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah, exactly. And honest to God, we were all like laughing, carrying on, and all of a sudden I see her, my grandmother in Italian, screaming, "Oh, Maron!" And she's like, "Oh, look at his penis, it's so big."
Oh, my God.
We were like, "Oh, my God, oh, my God." Like, Nana's here. No one is watching this with us.
Hold your ears, cover your eyes.
Oh, my God.
Turn the channel off.
And then I will never forget, my father comes in, "What are you kids watching?" My grandmother's explaining what she saw. Oh, my God. It was the funniest damn thing in the world. We still talk about that movie all the time.
Uh-huh. It was a great movie.
Watched an X-rated movie with my grandmother. That was real good. Oh, God. Oh, my God. God rest her soul. Oh, Lord.
So one of our friend Mike, Magic Mike, who's our engineer tonight, says he had a great movie in 1981. What is it, Mike?
I shot him 6 times. Sheriff, I shot him 6 times. Halloween 2.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I wasn't much of a Halloween fan, to be honest with you. I saw Halloween 1. That was about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, I fell in love with the Halloweens and, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis and Donald Pleasence and
mm-hmm.
just as a kid, you know, that was my scary movie. That was my, he's coming for me, you know, and I always would.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
No, I get
it,
Mike.
You know, you get
Did
it.
Did you
it's
like a lot
like,
of?
What you were saying, right, it's like what you were talking about earlier about one of your you know, scary movies that got you, you know.
Well, I mean, are you a big scary movie fan now?
I'm a big horror. I love horror. Anything.
Yeah,
you say
you're
I'm
horror
big
versus scary. Gotcha. See, I'd rather be scared than horror.
Here's one.
What's the difference?
What's the difference? Because horror mm-hmm. is more of the
gore.
Friday the 13th. Horror,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
more of the Friday the 13th, we call it the Halloweens, the Freddy Kruegers. The scary movies are more, and scary movies are more like the American Werewolf in London, Jaws. I can't even think of any ones. Oh, Salem's Lot. Like they're scary movies.
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
you
Pet
got
Cemetery
where
the, too was scary.
I never saw Pet Cemetery.
Well, you should definitely go back and you should check it out. It's really good, and the book
well,
is good too.
You want to be my boyfriend and watch it with me because I ain't watching this crap by myself anymore. I live by myself. I'm not
oh
doing
well,
it.
Hey, I mean. Hey, yo, you know, if I ever have time, you know what, if that's an invitation, I'm there, you know. If you know, you need to run Magic Mike, rent a boyfriend night, ladies and gentlemen, right here on the 80s, right here on the Chris Lilley and the, I mean, Chris, and I'm almost sorry, I almost said my own show, sorry, Chris Kelly and Lillian, but filling in right now with Gina, and, you know, I was going to say, you got me all. You know what? I'll be on my way. I won't take you that one. Sorry, Chris, you're on your own.
Wait,
no, go ahead.
Wait. Is it? Can you do moves like Magic Mike?
I got moves like Swagger. What? Like Swagger? Yeah, I think I could pull off some.
You mean like Jagger?
Moves. I got moves like Swagger.
He's got Swagger moves.
What is
like
it, Jagger?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I got him all tongue tied now. He doesn't know what to say. He's verklempt.
But do you know who Swagger is? I bet you don't know. It's a wrestler, Jack Swagger. And I always say I got Jack Swagger.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I do
yeah.
have moves like Jagger.
That.
And I can't dance, but you know what? It's a good time anyway with me. It's like a Magic Mike party. I'm like a party.
Okay, so you said you can move like, wait, you can move like Swagger, which is the wrestler.
I'm like, is it?
You like it rough?
I beg your pardon? What? This is a family
so
show.
So you say you make moves, you like moves like a wrestler. You like it rough?
No
I think he's speechless now.
I'm not gonna. Yeah, right. Chris is like this guy was never speechless before. No, I cannot answer. I cannot answer that question for reasons I don't know why. Actually, I'll just say it right now. No, I'm not into that stuff. I'm not into the.
Okay.
I'm not into rough stuff. I just like it. I just like it one on one and all night long, like Lionel Richie. There you go. Sorry. We got a song going on here.
Yeah, that's Chris cueing it in. You got moves like Jagger. This is why I'm
moves
still
like
single.
Jagger.
You understand now, Chris? Because I get guys and I get them tongue tied. They don't know what to do.
Even over the phone, you got the power. See how you are?
Oh dear God! I'm telling you.
Hey, I went into a Lionel Richie. I was gonna say I went into a Lionel Richie thing right there actually, because I went into
Lionel
all
Richie thing?
Night long. I'm a big Lionel Richie guy. I love Lionel Richie.
Okay.
Exactly.
Fiesta together.
Woohoo! Speaking of,
Magic
Mike
can go all night long. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Pipe down there, Junior.
You got it.
But now, speaking of Lionel Richie, which is a good segue for his songs in 1981. But Lionel, so here's, you know what's so funny? Lionel Richie and Mariah Carey are coming March 18th to the Wells Fargo Center. And I would really like to go see Lionel Richie because he's a classic. Like, you know, he's an icon.
Sure.
You have to go see him. I can't find one single person that wants to go because of Mariah Carey. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, and they're saying that she's special guest at the concert, but I'm like, so was she the whole time, or is she just a certain appearance?
I bet you she's going to fill in and sing Endless Love with him.
Well, that I can
see. That's from 1981.
Yeah.
And that was Lionel Richie and Diana Ross.
Yeah, probably what she's going to do.
Yeah,
one of my favorite duets. Yeah. But she did sing it with somebody else. Didn't Mariah sing it with someone else?
Did she? She probably did.
There was a remake of Endless Love, and it was her and maybe it was one of the guys from it was the guys from Boys to Men.
Well, okay. I hate when they remake stuff. It's like
me too. I'm not a remake girl. Like I don't like they remade like Footloose, it sucked. They remade Dirty Dancing, it sucked. Like, you gotta leave cult classics alone.
Yeah, they're remaking Chips, and I think that's gonna bite.
Yeah,
and that's
you can't
with Dax Shepard.
They're redoing the Warriors, I heard, and even
Say Hello to My Little Friend.
Scarface
with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Listen to me. Here's a little bit of a trivia about that.
Mm-hmm.
The Scarface that was made with Al Pacino, that was
a remake.
Yeah,
I heard that last time.
That was a remake. But they're gonna change it up though. This Scarface, it's gonna be in Los Angeles, not Miami, and I don't know. I'm like, whatever. I'm like, what is it? You mean there's no like creative people out there that can't come up with a new movie?
Right. I got movie scripts. Let's do them. Come on.
I
got
one in a heartbeat.
Let's make some blockbusters.
I would do one in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, I'm working on it.
I always say I should be on TV because my whole life is a freaking reality show. Mine's a real reality show. It doesn't need to be scripted.
The Gina Show. We're going to make it happen.
The Gina Show. No, it's going to be called the G-Spot. Because either everybody calls me G, and my friend, actually my friend, my girlfriend's husband, Joe, he always coming up with nicknames for me. And then one day he goes, G-Spot. That's what you are. That's your new nickname. So he calls me the G-Spot.
Oh, my God.
And
G-Spot.
So I said, if
you
I ever had a show
dirty.
Or
something
a bar,
clean.
I call
Gina
it the G-Spot. Yeah.
Great.
I think it's a great title.
You got Mike mumbling again over there.
What is going on here tonight? Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on. I said I didn't hear what was going on. You said G. The
power
of
Gina.
Somebody told you the G spot.
That's my nickname from a friend of mine. So my name is Gina. So but people call me G. What do you call it? My brother calls me Zsa Zsa. I'm like, I have all these nicknames. So my friend just like would say, you know, one day came up, he goes, yo, G Spot. And I was like, oh, God, that's a great name.
Well, you couldn't miss it.
No, people have missed it, but whatever.
Yeah, I guess if he nicknamed you, right. Probably, you know. All right, so anyway, go into another. So segueing onto that, Chris.
I was gonna throw the commercial
going,
and thank Gina and you guys because we have George coming on with the movie and he's got a special guest as well.
Yeah,
so Gina,
well,
sending you love and hope.
It's been a hysterical. Hour. So thank you.
It's awesome. Thanks for calling in. I love when you call. It's perfect.
I know. I love hanging out with you guys and. Next time you need a co-host, give me some warning and I'll do it.
You got it. We're going to have a ball.
Lillian,
Mike,
we
thanks,
missed
brother.
You tonight. All right.
Where are
you,
Lillian?
I know.
Guys.
Have a good night. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Gina. Mike,
bye.
Can you take us into commercial break? And everyone, we'll be back in like 3 minutes.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Welcome back. This is Chris Kelly from 80s TV, live on Totally Driven Entertainment Radio. Tonight we're talking about the year 1981. What were you doing? What are your memories? How old were you? What was your favorite TV show, if you remember it? Our phone number tonight is 718-508-9883. It's my special privilege and honor to introduce our next guest, who's our weekly featured person here. It's the movie guy 24/7, George Roth. George, are you there?
I am here. How you doing, Chris?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm okay. Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I have a little bit of this cold. It's like a fighter, man. Just doesn't want to leave. I've had a cough for about 2 or 3 weeks now, but thanks for asking. It's got to leave.
No problem.
Gotta check out. Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Yeah. We have a special guest that we want to bring on to say hello to you.
Okay.
Is our other caller on the line, Mike?
She is right here, ladies and gentlemen. Bridget.
Hey, George.
Bridget McKenna. Oh, Lord.
How you doing, man?
Great. How you doing, kiddo?
Good.
Oh, my God. Wow. Haverford High School reunion.
Yes.
On the radio, no less.
On the radio, no less.
How you doing, Bridget?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing? You feeling better, George,
good,
too? Since nobody asked about your health.
Oh, actually, I'm doing fine. I'm due for another CAT scan, but I'm positive. I'm confident that it'll be clear. So,
I'm okay. Sure it will be. That's good.
What tonight's show is about 1981 because George said to me last week. He said, "Chris, when are we doing one on the year 1981? There's a lot of great movies that year." I'm like, "All right, let's do it next one." So here we are. Bridget, what was your favorite memories from 1981? Do you have any? Do you remember?
Oh, I have a good one. You'll love this one. This is the biggest thing that happened in daytime history. Luke and Laura's wedding, November 17th, 1981. It brought 30 million viewers.
Oh, my God. There were two
big
weddings.
I wasn't one of them.
The other... You weren't one of them, is that what you said?
I wasn't even aware of the date they got married. I just knew that they were that couple in General Hospital. I don't know about that.
Well, do you remember the other big wedding that year?
That was the
Charles
big wedding.
Charles and
Di. Yes, that was the same year. Yep, Charles and Di. I wonder if one had Charles and Diana.
Yes, yes, I remember that one, too. Yes, I watched that one, too, Princess, and I have every memorabilia of hers ever since she's passed.
Wow.
We were down the shore when those two got married, and my mom
mm-hmm.
got up at some ungodly hour of the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
so she could watch it on the tube.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it was at our house, too. It was like 5 in the morning, I think, and
yeah.
they're 5 hours ahead of us, so...
My dad did the same thing when she died. My dad, I was up, you know, wanted to watch the funeral. And my dad's like, "Did they bury her yet?" I was like, "No, Dad, she haven't left Westminster Abbey. I'm watching people at 4 o'clock in the morning standing out there. It hasn't started yet."
Oh my God. That's a shame that they she had such a sad ending. I did like Lady Diana.
Yeah, she was a very. She was the people's princess. She was a classic lady. I
mm-hmm.
love what Elton John did, and it was just you're never going to get a classy lady like that again.
No, no.
Yeah.
She was the epitome of being a princess. And her sons, hopefully they will carry on her charm.
Her sons are very
elegant.
And they're staying out of the press.
Mm-hmm.
The only time you see them is, like, if it's baby news or, well,
mm-hmm.
you see the other one, but that's him. But I'm sure one
mm-hmm.
day he'll be happy. But they really don't care – what, you know, they just want to remember their mother the right way. And it's like, well, if that
mm-hmm.
happened to our mother, then that's not going to happen to us when we get married. Being
mm-hmm.
out in the spotlight and everything.
You know, there
yeah,
was
a
movie about 10 years back called The Queen.
Yes.
It
mm-hmm.
starred Helen Mirren as Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
And it was
mm-hmm.
all about how she reacted to the death of Princess Diana. And I thought it was a beautiful film.
Oh, even the Queen, Queen Elizabeth loved it. She thought that she did an excellent job with it.
She really deserved that Oscar she won for
yes,
it.
Yes, she did. Speaking of Oscars, they're coming up, George. What's your predictions?
Great question.
Ordinarily, I don't publicly discuss my predictions. However,
okay.
since this year's Best Picture seems to be a lock, I'm
okay.
going to have to go ahead and agree with the consensus and say La La Land.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that was a great film, and I just have a feeling that everybody's right. I think that's going to win for the very same reason that Birdman won a few years back.
We're losing it. Hold on, we're losing you, George. George, we're losing you.
Okay.
Sounds like you have a bad connection.
Okay. How is this? How's it now?
That's better.
Loud and clear.
Okay, good. Okay, so Birdman won because it was like this insider's look at entertainment, and Hollywood seems, or the voting board rather, they seem to favor that kind of movie. So in as much, I think La La Land pretty much has a lock on that award.
That's a pretty – and what about Best Actor?
I beg your pardon?
On Best Actor, who do you think is going to get – who's going to take home the Oscar for Best Actor?
Well, at this point, I'm remaining mute.
You're remaining mute. I would like to see Denzel Washington get it.
I beg your pardon?
I'd like to see Denzel Washington get it, even though he's won in previous, but I just think he deserved that. You
that
know.
Seems to be the consensus.
Yeah.
I know who I'd like to see win. But, oh, what the heck. Casey Affleck. I'd like to see Casey Affleck in.
I think, yeah, that's my same version.
I heard
too.
You did a good job. I heard both of them did a great job. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
They were both great performances. I'd love to see Affleck get it. I have a feeling that Denzel will get it.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, unless they do a tie. Mm-hmm. Unless they do a tie. That's happened before in previous Oscar history.
Oh, it has?
In the 60s, yes. Once.
It happened, yeah,
it?
Thank you. I forget who it was, but it was just a tie, and it was just like one person accepted, and it was a long time ago. I forget where it was, but both they had a tie.
I can actually look that up. I actually have access to the computer tonight.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Let me Google that. Tie winners at the Oscars. Winners at Oscars. Googling. And it would help if I actually spelled it right. Okay.
Hey, I got a trivia question. What movie won Best Picture in 1981?
Arthur.
Chariots of Fire.
Oh, okay. That's right. And here's another question.
That's wrong.
Wait.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Movie Guy answered.
All right, go ahead, George.
Okay, I got an answer for that. It was 1969.
Sure.
The tie was between Barbara Streisand and Katherine Hepburn.
That's who I thought it was.
Streisand for Funny Girl, Hepburn for Lion in Winter.
Wow, two great movies, two great actresses. I can see how that happened there.
Yep. Is another trivia question, George, for you?
Sure.
Go for it,
Bridget.
Okay. Chariots of Fire. The person produced or directed was involved with Princess Diana. Name the guy.
Oh, Al Fayed.
Yeah, very good. I thought that was just come up because you mentioned Chariots of Fire. I was like, wait a minute, that's the one he produced, so just, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
I know something.
They mentioned that after his death and everything. He was the one who produced Chariots of Fire.
It's interesting we're talking about that particular movie. One of the things I put up on my Movie Guy page for Facebook, this week for Oscar week, I'm going to be doing a lot of If I Had to Pick One. And this week I'm focusing on years that, there are certain years when one movie wins Best Picture, but like everybody's scratching their head like this other picture should have won.
Right.
So this morning I put up, if I had to pick one, Chariots of Fire or Reds, because that year Reds, the one directed by Warren Beatty, was the odds on favorite to win.
Right.
And Beatty even took home Best Director. And once they award Best Director, that's usually who gets Best Picture as well.
Right.
Rarely does the Academy split their vote.
Right.
So everybody was in shock when they announced Chariots of Fire as the winner for Best Picture.
Right.
Now, personally, I thought both pictures were great. But I was just curious to see what everybody else thought. So
I thought they were both good, but my dad went with Chariots of Fire. He just thought Chariots of Fire was better. But then when he saw Reds, he was like, you know, I said, now you know what the Oscar committee has to go through each year. It's just like when Best Director knows, you know, so.
Well, I've got some good questions coming up this week for other years. And if you log on to Movie Guy 24/7 Facebook page, you'll be able to see those questions. And tell me what you think. What do you think should have won Best Picture in any given year?
How about this one, George? Do you remember this? Okay, E.T. was like the – I think E.T. came out that year. I'm not sure.
1982.
Okay. It was up there with Empire of the Sun, and Empire of the Sun and E.T. were going back and forth with winning the award.
Actually, you're talking about two different years.
Oh,
Empire of the Sun
years.
Was 1987.
Wrong year. Okay, sorry.
E.T. major contender was Gandhi, and Gandhi is the one that ended up winning.
Okay. I thought it was Empire's Son that was in that category that one year.
Nah.
No, okay.
5 year difference.
5 year difference. Okay, I'm getting it mixed up. Okay.
Yeah, not to worry.
Okay.
So go ahead, George. What else happened? What other movies happened stuck after you in 1981? Tell Bruce.
Well, I do have a list.
Sure.
Okay, well, let's just throw out the obvious titles. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Superman 2, and Clash of the Titans.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that summer wasn't complete unless you saw those three movies.
Mm-hmm. And you remember when movies were $1.50 at the Brookline Movie Theater.
I remember when regular theaters were $1.50 matinees.
Yes.
Okay. And we're the same age, Bridget, so you should remember, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I used to go to the movies all the time on a Friday or Saturday night with my father.
Mm-hmm. I usually went in the afternoons. My dad had this rule about movies, and I quote him verbatim, it's cheaper and it's the same damn movie you'd see at night.
Right, yeah, that's what we used to do when it used to get expensive down here. So then we went to matinee films. But no, growing up, my memory used to be $1.50 to go to the movies, and then went up to $2.50, $3.50, $4.50. So we watched over the years how movies got expensive. Now nobody, unless they really have to see a movie on a big screen, everybody just waits for pay-per-view.
It's ridiculous what they cost. That's why I prefer to go to early shows. And even then, $7 as the cheapest ticket. That's really a far cry from what I paid growing up. But, you know, that's what happens. You get older and you have fond memories of when everything was cheaper.
Right.
And I'm certain the 12-year-olds now in about 40 years are going to be saying, I remember when it cost $12 to go to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're still around, that is. But let's not be fatalistic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's see. What stands out from 1981? Okay. Excalibur, the King Arthur movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. That movie was awesome.
Yep.
I thought it was cool, too. The cinematography was great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. It's still my favorite King Arthur movie. No other movie about King Arthur has surpassed it. Mm-hmm. And I'm making a prediction that the new King Arthur movie coming out at some point this year, it's going to stink. It's going to be a crappy picture.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the trailer.
Is that the one
Lord.
With the guy from Sons of Anarchy in it?
Charlie Hunnam or whatever his name is.
Charlie Hunnam, yep.
It looks awful.
Yeah.
So I'll say
it's hard to do, like, classics. Like, when they did, what was that one, Macbeth that Mel Gibson did, it's, you know, really hard to do that type of...
He did
of...
Hamlet.
Hamlet, that's it. Okay, well, I'm thinking Macbeth. Hamlet, thank you, George.
I thought he did a great job with Hamlet.
Oh, yeah,
although...
no, don't get me wrong. No, he did a great job. I'm just saying it's hard when you get, like, when, just like you said, with this new King Arthur, I don't think it's going to be so hot either. I just think people are just going to go see it because, you know, people are fans of him from Sons of Anarchy and everything. But I'm just saying, it's like, it's pretty hard probably doing that type of character.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, I hold all the King Arthur movies up to Excalibur, and unfortunately they're all going to suffer. So that's probably on me, but
okay.
We'll see. Moving along, here's one of my favorites from 1981. Sharky's Machine, starring Burt Reynolds.
Well, I remember that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cop movie, and to this day, it's still one of my favorite cop movies.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really awesome, and my dad took me and my little brother to see it when it came out. I was 13, my brother was 9, and by some twisted miracle, he didn't pull us out midway through because of all the bad language.
Mm-hmm.
As he did a couple of times with other movies. But let's see, what else? Eye of the Needle, the World War II spy movie with Donald Sutherland as a German spy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was
mm-hmm.
great. We can't forget the werewolf trilogy that year, American Werewolf in London, The Howling and Wolfen. Stripes with Bill Murray.
Of course.
That's the fat Jack.
Don't call me Francis.
Yeah,
any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you. Let's see. Nighthawks with Sylvester Stallone and Billy Dee Williams.
Great movie.
Okay. History of the World Part 1.
Oh, my God.
Brooks.
That was hysterical. Yes, that was hysterical.
The Mighty Joint. Let's see. On Golden Pond with Henry Fonda and Kate Hepburn.
Norman, don't you die on me, Norman, you old poop.
Actually, that was Henry Fonda's last film, too.
He died, like, a few months after he won the Oscar.
Right, and Jane Fonda brought the Oscar to him. They showed it on live television.
Yes, I remember. Let's see. What else? Arthur with, what's his name, Dudley Moore.
Dudley Moore,
another
classic actor.
Where's that song? Off. Let me get that. Before you move on, let me get that. It's great. You can't say that without saying the song.
Arthur.
Oh, yeah, we can't.
Do you remember who sang it?
Christopher
Cross.
There you go. Hold on. Here we
you
go.
Remember who composed it, Bridget?
I know it. I know it off the top of my head. Say it for me. I know it off the top of
Burt
my head.
Burt Bacharach.
There you go. Okay, that was who it was. Burt Rack.
Burt Bacharach is the man.
Okay.
There you go.
Yep.
Can you hear that?
And that song, that was the song that won best original song from the Oscars that year, too.
You are correct. Bum, 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 bum.
Great song.
Oh, here's another movie, George.
Go for
it. We were all going down to Philadelphia for this one. Blowout.
Yes, Blowout. Oh, my God, that was cool.
There was
one of the early John Travolta movies that didn't stink.
No.
Yeah. There was another local movie done that year. I think it was shot somewhere local. Some of it was.
What was it?
I want to give. I know you'll go. I'll try and give you a hint.
It's
a military movie. Put it that way.
Taps.
Yes.
Taps. It was shot at Valley Forge Military Academy.
Yes,
right.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody I went to school with at the time had a part in that. He was like in the background of a few scenes.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's see what else have I got. Here's another one. It's a small one. And I'm trying to make a joke here because there's a lot of midgets in the movie. Under the Rainbow.
I remember that. Oh, I remember that movie.
That movie cracked me up.
Oh, here's another one I liked. The Cannonball Run.
I have that on the list. I was actually going to get to that one. Up, dun, dun, dun. I am Captain Chaos.
Then they do a second one. He comes back as a set. I was like, no, now I'm Captain. I was like, oh my God.
I'm Captain USA. I can't believe I'm sitting next to George Hamilton.
Oh my God.
George Hamilton.
Yeah, that was, because remember, Roger Moore had a different girl. Every time you saw him in a car, he had a different girl in each scene.
That was a nod to his James Bond character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else have I got? Friday the 13th, Part 2.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The first Friday the 13th I was allowed to see at the movies. It was cool. Escape from New York with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looker. Does anybody remember Looker?
She's a looker. That's what they say.
Oh, you know the song.
And a guy in a face. I remember it. Yep. Albert Finney's in here too, isn't he? And
Albert Finney, a rated PG movie with nudity.
Mario Hemingway or Margo Hemingway?
No, it was Susan Day.
Susan Day. Okay.
It was a PG-13 movie with nudity, which made it a top choice for every 13-year-old boy in school.
Yes, I was one. Of course, I know the song. So hold on, just look her. That's what they say. She's got it all. Yeah, she's got it.
I've posted it a few times on Movie Guy.
Let me find it. Look her movie.
I can't remember who sings it now. I just remember it was a great opening song.
I think I have. This is
while you're doing that,
is it? May not be it. I think it is.
A pretty face reflected in the mirror. So perfect in every way.
With every move, the picture's getting clearer. She's got it all.
Here comes. Oh. Come on. If anyone listening is just tuning in now, we're talking about the movie Looker from 1981. This is the theme song. We're waiting for the chorus. Here it comes. There you go. There you go. That's awesome. Great song.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that is a good song. All right, here's another one. We're talking about music from movies. This one had a really cool soundtrack. The animated movie, Heavy Metal.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That really had some awesome songs on there.
I had the pleasure of seeing it on the big screen when they re-released it in 96.
Okay.
Awesome.
That was good. The Dogs of War with Christopher Walken.
Great movie. Mm-hmm.
And the final one I have on my list, Bustin' Loose with Richard Pryor.
We're losing you again. We're losing you.
The final one on my list, Bustin' Loose with Richard
Pryor.
Hold
on. Houston to George.
Can you hear me now?
Transmission.
Yes, I can hear you.
There we go.
Yep.
There we go.
I don't know what's with this phone. All right. Bustin' Loose with Richard Pryor.
Bustin'
Loose. Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Richard Pryor rocked. Absolutely.
Yes, he did. That was another funny comedian.
The one that
George lost
way too soon.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
Well, that's pretty much the list I have from 1981. I mean, it's a lot of titles, but
you guys
can throw
here.
Some at me if you want.
Yeah.
Let's go to
the TV shows of 1981.
Sure, why not?
I got a movie for you, George. How about For Your Eyes Only?
Oh, my God, yes. James Bond. It was the
done by Sheena Easton.
First James Bond movie I saw at the theater.
Oh.
It was cool. And I think the day after I saw The Great Muppet Caper.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, that's my favorite. Hold on a second. What, George? What movie did you see?
The Great Muppet Caper.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do have on the line, Chris knows him very well. Hi, Mike, yeah, Kermit, you're live on the air. Oh, hi, George, you saw my movie live, did you?
Yes, I did, Kermit.
That was when we went to London to try to solve a case. I had Fozzie and Gonzo with us, and we met Lady Holiday.
Played by Diana Rigg.
No, it was actually Miss Piggy impersonating her at first, but we had some great stuff in that movie. You guys want to check it out, just you can get us on DVD, you know. But I loved playing the part in it. I was great.
Well, can you do the cheer for us, Kermit?
You were great. You were great.
What was that? Sorry, I couldn't hear you. I had something going on.
It is an easy baby.
Could you guys keep that down?
Can you do the cheer for us, Kermie? Your cheer?
How does the cheer go?
Yay!
Yay!
There you go. You remember
what
it?
What was it? My cheer? Oh, you
Where's
mean when
Piggy?
I introduced? Oh, that? Oh no, no. When I introduced people, I would say, "Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Sorry, your cheer. I didn't catch it. Yeah, like when I would say, "Tonight on the Muppet Show, we're gonna have Sylvester Stallone." Yay! That's what you guys were talking about.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Kermit the Frog here.
That's
Great
right,
job,
Kermit
Mike.
The Frog here. All these years, and you know, that movie is one of it's a classic of 1981. People forget about it. I mean, yes, we did the Muppet movie, and yes, we took Manhattan, you know, but that movie is just it's near and dear to our hearts. You know, it was like, hey, a movie. You know, it was starring everybody and me. You know, it was like, you know, and me. You know.
I love this. I got two more.
By the way, one more thing. Our driver Beauregard crashed through the Happiness Hotel.
Oh my God! Yes, I remember that.
I got two more for you from the 1981 before we go into your newest film, George.
Okay.
One of them is, gosh, if I tell you the name, it's like giving away. If I describe it, it's also the name of the movie. When you die, sometimes people see your spirit still living somewhere and moving by. This is a cool movie. I want to see if you can guess the name of it. I'll tell you, it stars Craig Wasson.
Oh, Ghost Story.
Yes, Fred Astaire was in it, too. That was a cool movie. I like that one.
Fred Astaire, John Houseman, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., and, Melvin Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I remember it. It was a good movie.
I got one more. I'll give you one phrase. Zug, zug.
Oh, Caveman with Ringo Starr.
Atuk Lana. Atuk Lana, zug, zug.
Doo-doo, caca.
Doo-doo,
yeah.
Caca.
And I'm not saying that. I ain't saying that one.
All
right, how about
go.
Outland with Sean Connery?
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Outland is a good movie, see? Yeah.
Did I have any more? Continental Divide wasn't a big hit, but it was a big John Belushi movie. It was the last one he did, right?
No, Neighbors was his last movie.
Neighbors. Okay.
They both came out within a few months of each other. Continental Divide came out in September. That was his rom-com, the first time he didn't do madcap comedy. And then he did Neighbors, which was really a weird movie. Him and Dan Aykroyd kind of switched roles. They played against type, and I don't know. The movie as a whole just didn't work. I've seen it a few times, and it just leaves me cold. But Continental Divide is a cute movie.
Yeah, no, it was. I do remember. It was John Belushi and
Blair Brown.
Blair Brown. Oh man. What have you seen lately? What's hot out there right now? I can tell you last night I did catch up and finally see it's on demand now. I did see The Arrival.
And what did you think?
I was a little disappointed. I was excited because I'm a huge UFO buff. And I like seeing movies where the aliens are not here to destroy everybody, you know, like Alien and Predator. I believe that one day they are going to come and visit us and make communication. But I was kind of disappointed that they were not humanoid aliens. They seemed more like the theory of they look like an octopus. And there is a theory out there that octopuses have DNA that's not from this earth. I've read many times. So I just didn't buy that. But the message in the end, which I won't give away, is something that we should it's a message, a thing we've talked about before, but it brings it to a new light. Maybe, you know, sometimes things are hidden in movies. So kind of exciting to me because February 22nd, NASA has a big announcement about a new exoplanet they found. Then being tight-lipped on the announcement. But just to say, because I'm a UFO geek, I'd give it a B+, is what I give it.
And FYI, I watch the skies, too. I keep thinking one day I'll see a UFO, or hope I see a UFO. I've been doing that since I saw Close Encounters when it was re-released in 1980. What can I say? I'm a little crazy.
I believe that there's UFOs out there, trust me, because one guy who got abducted by a UFO is based on a true story.
I believe in the existence of life on other planets. I went to Haverford High. There's proof right there. Some of those people around there could not have been from this planet. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you on that one, George.
I mean, I think the best UFO films of all time for that genre and things that may be possible or believable were, of course, Close Encounters is what I love, and theory is if in the UFO geek world is that it really did happen, something similar, and they kind of based it off it. And the other one I really loved was Contact with Jodie Foster.
Oh, yeah, that was an excellent movie.
That was very good, yes.
Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey.
And I was looking for The Arrival to be like a rival 2 contact, but I don't think it was. So
I
think it was close. It was close in running. I give it an A for effort, but it didn't reach that potential for me. But I thought it was still an overall good move.
Oh, it was excellent. Because, I mean, just getting the build up when they're getting, like, all these clues and everything, and then she finally goes up, and I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I thought it was a good film, too. I actually went back and saw it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
And
what
I...
Shoot, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, you said, why don't you finish? You said.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen it, I saw it a second time, and now that it's available on Home Entertainment, I may watch it a third time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I'll definitely watch it again. So there may be things in there that maybe appeal to me more, but it was a good hitch to it, so. Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah,
coming. Mm-hmm. As for new movies, what's in the movies this
mm-hmm.
week?
Well,
right. We had a bit of a surprise. So my top pick for the week was A Cure for Wellness. I figured that's got to be the movie to beat. All right, it's not a bad movie. The problem is it's very long and convoluted. It's weird, but it's just not quite – I don't know. It just – didn't live up to my expectations. I was a little disappointed with it.
Mm-hmm.
The one that surprised me, the picture that I thought would stink, was actually pretty
mm-hmm.
good, and that was The Great Wall with Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah. It was better than I have to give it
it's dumb. It's a dumb movie, but it's fun. It's like, you know what? It has a good director at the helm. What's
mm-hmm.
his name? Zhang Yimou. He's a Chinese director. He's directed like Raise the Red Lantern. He directed some period martial arts flicks. This is his
mm-hmm.
first English language movie.
Oh, okay.
So the fact that they have a good director as opposed to a hack director like Michael Bay doing it, that gives it a little more cred right there. And it's Matt Damon's not so great in the lead, but the storyline for what it is, it's kind of fun. It's an enjoyable movie. So, oddly enough, that would be the one I recommend this week.
All right. Check it out. I want to give George a shout-out. Everybody can find him at movieguy247.com on the Internet. You can also find him on Facebook. George, do you have any announcements you want to share? Any plugs?
Well, just that this is Oscar week. I'm going to be doing some Oscar-related posts on Movie Guy 24/7. And also, as usual, if you are listening and you're sitting at your computer, please go to Movie Guy 24/7 on Facebook. And if it's not too much trouble, like my page. It would really be a help to me. Thank you.
Done deal. Done deal.
Awesome.
Far out.
George, we thank you for calling in. Bridget, thanks for calling in. We're going to get
one
more break. For Totally Driven Radio, and then we'll be back, close up shop and talk about some of the new things that happened this week. So stay tuned. And by the way, our friend Lillian says she loves you guys. She just texted me.
Oh, okay. We love her too.
We love you too,
come
Lillian. And it was
week,
great
bro.
Having a talk with you, Bridget.
Yeah, you too, George. Stay healthy.
Hey, you stay healthy
right,
too,
guys.
Kiddo.
Oh, I am.
Thanks.
I'm trying.
All right.
So much,
y'all have
guys.
A good week. I'll talk call in next week, as always.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Stay tuned, guys. We'll be back after these messages.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right. You can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromhomes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
All right. We're back and we're live. I'm Chris Kelly from 80s TV. My co-host Lillian Narodowski is traveling tonight and sends her apologies. She cannot be here this evening, but she's with us in spirit. So come back next week, Lillian. People are looking for you. Where's Lillian? Where's Waldo? But where's Lillian? That's our question this week. If you want to call in, our number is 718-508-9883. We've been talking about the year 1981 this evening. We've had some great calls, some good friends, some knowledgeable people calling in with lots of memories, lots of good movies, TV shows, music we've been talking about. We have about 12 minutes left. Call in and share your moments, your favorite memories. What were you doing? How old were you? What were you wearing? We want to hear about it. Some big things in the news. So there were some deaths recently. One of them we didn't mention because we weren't on the air last week that I wanted to mention was Richard Hatch. RIP Richard Hatch. So any of us alive in the 70s, late 70s into the 80s, we remember Battlestar Galactica. Richard Hatch played Apollo, the son of Adama. Great actor. Gave us some great memories as a kid. If you're a sci-fi fan, you remember Richard Hatch. Apollo, may you live on in the heavens, and God bless your family. Some other announcements we have as I scroll through my list here. I want to let everybody know that on April 29th, 2017, Lillian and I will be partnering with Totally Driven Radio and featuring the music of the Class of 84. It's a wonderful band. Doug Eager is usually on every week to talk about music. He's off this week. But his band doesn't just take you back to the 80s. It brings back the whole 80s party. So I want everybody to tune in or come on out on April 29th to the used to be the Morton Tap Room, but now it's called the Taste of Key West in Morton, Pennsylvania. You can find that link on my page for Chris Kelly from 80s TV or my personal page if you're on there as well. There's also a big party going on March 11th. We've had my friend Scott Pester coming on. If you're from the Delaware County section of Pennsylvania, It's called the Upper Darby High School Reunion and Middle School Reunion from Beverly Hills Middle School. If you went to Beverly Hills in the late, I guess, any time in the 80s, you're invited to this party. The link for that is also on my page. It's a great reunion. It hasn't been done to this level before with this many groupings of people getting to get together. And we'd love to see everybody. So Scott Pester, P-E-S-T-E-R. You can contact him for tickets online. If you're from Delaware County, you'll know Scott. If you don't, send me a message and I'll introduce you. There were also deaths in the world of wrestling this week. Magic Mike is our engineer tonight. He also has his own wrestling show here on the Totally Driven Network. And I think, Mike, if you want to jump in, you're more than welcome. I want to start off with RIP to George the Animal Steele, dead at the age of 79. What can you tell us about George the Animal Steele, Mike?
I could tell you that George the Animal Steele was just a character unbeknownst to characters. I mean, you know, you look at a guy that can go in the ring, and first of all, he had hair all over his body, and he had a green tongue, you know? And, you know, when I started watching, you know,
what was
wrestling,
the green tongue? So what did they ever explain what the green tongue was about? Do you know? Part of the gimmick.
It was part of his gimmick. It was his gimmick. You know, it just, George the Animal Steele, you know, when I got to see George, obviously, you know, it was the late, you know, it was like the early 80s. And George was, you know, he was a bad guy. He was managed by Captain Lou Albano. And then Albano got him, you know, to be nice. There was a show called TNT. And if you guys want to check that out, that's on the WWE Network. And there was a segment where he brought in a doctor. And, you know, George the Animal Steele had to recite something. And he recited, "How now, brown cow?" He tried to get the animal out of him. But, you know, it was, you know, George the Animal Steele talked in a couple of words. And he would eat the turnbuckle. Remember that?
You probably I would always eat the turnbuckle. I was always like, if he didn't eat the turnbuckle, I was disappointed.
Yeah.
And in real life,
I was, you know. Yeah, it was.
Playing
it
like
was
a very...
To me.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I want you to finish what you're saying. You said to you.
No, to me, it was like popcorn. I didn't know what it was it was stuffing. It was, you know, and one of my, you know, there's so much to talk about with the animal, and it's such a sad, you know, for me, this week was terrible because that's all I was getting was, you know, messages on Facebook, you know, who died now. It's like, but, you know, it's just a sad situation when you had a guy like the animal and, you know, it just amazes me how, you know, I mean, like, what are your memories? You know, you were asking me. I mean, I know one of my biggest greatest feuds from the animal's perspective was when he went up against the Macho Man Randy Savage, because Macho Man had something that, I was gonna say Macho Man had something that he wanted, that George wanted. And, you know, it wasn't he did want to beat Randy for the Intercontinental title, but it really wasn't, it really wasn't, you know, that was at WrestleMania 2 in 1986, but you know what he really wanted.
Right?
What was his main goal? What did George really want?
George wanted to be loved.
Yeah, but George...
Miss Elizabeth. He wanted that affection.
Exactly. Oh, you did. All right. See, okay, good. All right, yeah. I know something... Sometimes the phone cracks up sometimes. But anyway, yeah. And the whole thing was one time there was a Saturday night main event, which I'm sure you're familiar with it. You know, it took over Saturday Night Live, you know, on some times. And they were having a great match. And... You know, if George won, he got Elizabeth. And Mean Gene stuck the microphone up in his face and said, you know, George, what do you think about tonight? And he says, Elizabeth? You know, mine? No, George, not yet. Bye-bye. And it was like, that's it. His mind was his mind was right on you know, on cue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And George Animal Steele, most people, he played like this big, scary, hairy simpleton with a green tongue and eating everything. But in real life, he was a college professor, right? From what I heard.
He was a college professor. And, you know, if you guys want to know more about the animal, there's only one way you can find out more about the animal. Get his book.
Tell us.
It's called Animal. It's a great book. Mm-hmm. I have it. It came out in 2013, and it's on Amazon right now, and it's a good book, you know, and it even has a picture of him and his stuffed animal, who he called mine.
I'll have to look up George. I've never seen him out of character, and will be curious to find a piece of footage of him talking just, you know, as himself, as his real name, you know, William James Myers,
yeah.
Whatever his real name
was.
Yeah,
and a friend of mine put up a video that that Jim Myers made while he was dying, and it was I guess you can Google it, and it's a really sad video, and it's just amazing. But I was talking to one of the all-time greats, actually, former Intercontinental Champion, Ken Butera, one night on one of the shows that we do. And he was talking about how, you know, Bruno Sammartino needed an opponent, and they brought in the animal, and he was perfect for it. And, you know, George the Animal Steele was just that guy. I mean, you know, when you needed the animal, he was there. I mean, you know, he also helped 30 years ago. He helped win the Intercontinental title for Ricky Steamboat. I mean, that's how great this guy was, you know. And, you know, it just goes to show you. And I know a lot of people who worked with the animal, and a lot of people who met him, and they said he was the most humblest guy. So that's all I have for the animal.
So rip George the Animal Steele, and then no more than a few days later, if it wasn't a few days, a day later, on the 18th, another great wrestler passed away. And this wrestler is actually the very first wrestler that I watched by accident going through the channels and fell in love with the world of wrestling. I was going through, and there was this Russian guy, he called himself the Russian Bear, and he's arguing with the interviewer, Pat Patterson, who's also a former wrestler, and then they go at it. And it was Ivan Koloff, the Russian Bear. And then they went on and had this big battle after that. But that I was so intrigued in watching, you know, the way that the argument started and where it went from here to there, then, you know, it just pulled me in. That brought me into the world of wrestling. So on February 18th, we lost another great wrestler, Ivan Koloff, the Russian Bear. Did you ever get the Russian Bear, excuse me.
It happened. Yes, that was my memories
of Ivan Koloff. How about you?
Yeah, when, you know, also I just want to let everybody know that both guys are in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And Ivan Koloff was a former champion.
Mm-hmm.
He defeated Bruno Sammartino, and it just so fond memories of him. Yeah, when my days of watching wrestling, when I started watching him, he was gone from the WWF. I can say that now. He was with the NWA, and he was known as Uncle Ivan, and he was a manager. Well, he was a wrestler / manager to Krusha Khrushchev and Nikita Koloff. But you probably remember Krusha Khrushchev. as Demolition Smash.
I remember
Smash.
Crusher. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember, but Crusher, Krusev, right. Not many people knew that that was Demolition Smash.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, it's like, you know, here comes the Axe, here comes the Smash, but he was Crusher, Krusev before that. And he went on, they went on to do big things, and he, you know, he had a, he was just a tremendous Gale character as well, Ivan Koloff, and
mm-hmm.
he's missed. You know, they're all missed. They're all going to be missed, but this was a bad for the legends. This was just a bad time for them.
It was. May they rest in peace. We lost some pieces of our past, pieces of the 80s. Of course, these guys were here at Legends even before the 80s, and Legends met a long time after the 80s, and they will, moving on to the future, still be legends. Thank you for all the good times you gave us, the entertainment, the inspiration, the passion, and we will never forget it. So this concludes tonight's episode for the year 1981 and our memories of the 80s. We had some great callers. I want to thank Gina Marie Scorsone. I want to thank Bridget McKenna. I want to thank George Rother, Movie Guy 24/7. Our friend Magic Mike, who is our engineer this evening, is also part of our show. We've had a great show. It's been a fun night. One piece was missing. My co-host, Lillian Narodowski. Where is Lillian? I should have start having a contest, Mike. You know, like guessing how many jelly beans are in the jar. We're going to have a contest. Where is Lillian this evening? Every time she's not here, that's the contest we're going to have. So get ready, Lil. We're going to put you on the spot. You got to give away some kind of a prize. You can figure it out. But I want to invite everyone to check out our webpage at Chris Kelly from 80s TV.com. You can also find us on YouTube. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. And you can find us on Snapchat. What else am I forgetting here?
How about check
Instagram.
Out totallydriventv.com. How about that? Get driven, stay driven, where you can find you know, all your favorite shows, of course this show, and then also mm-hmm. check us out on Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, of course right now here on Blog Talk, and if you missed any episodes, you can always relive them. I mean, wow, you guys are up to 21. I bow down to both of you. You guys are doing a great job.
So thank you. Let's plug Mike and Bay as well. So the whole network that we are on is Total Driven Entertainment Radio. And our friend Bay Ragney, his show comes on Thursday nights from 8 to 11. Check him out on the same link every Thursday night. And Mike, give a plug to your show here. Thanks for being part of the show.
We got to give a plug to Bay's show, which is Totally Driven. And then he does Totally Driven Rocks. That's on Sunday night. That's I want to rock. Boom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's Sunday night at 8 o'clock on the network. And also, my show is Pro Wrestling Now with Magic Mike Ferrara. Wednesdays at 8 o'clock. Hump day, 8 o'clock. And that's what we got going on. But I do want to give a shout out to Bay Ragney, and I want to tell him that we love him and we're behind him 100%.
Mm-hmm. Bay's going through some something personal right now.
I was just
going to
leave it at
know,
that. But
yeah,
you
we all got something. We got Bay. Keep your thoughts for our friend Bay. Bay's all right. He's just going through something out of nothing internal, something he's going through, and just keep him in your prayers. But listen to him on Thursday night. Check him out on Total Driven Radio. Check out Magic Mike as well this week. And, again, tune in and follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Chris Kelly from 80s TV. All right, guys. Before I go, one more thing. You can take someone out of the 80s, but don't forget this, Mike. You can't take the 80s out of anyone. Thanks, everyone. Have a great February 20th. Enjoy your evening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.